Okay. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 to 9. And it's on page 1162 in the Bibles, and hopefully up on the screens. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do so as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us, in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Julie. Sorry about that, it's just that the batteries were going on the other one. And I thought, well, since I spent a long time preparing this, you ought to hear it rather than not hear it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that the wind of the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would just blow through this place today. Let us not leave the same way we came in, but let us leave transformed by you. Amen. Preaching today on generosity. And being generous. And I guess I want to say at the start of this particular passage is that when a vicar stands up and speaks about being generous, quite often the congregation kind of like fall back because they think he's going to be preaching about money. Would you like me to preach about money? No? Well, I'm going to. Just because you said that. I am going to be talking about money later on, but that's not the whole context of what I'm going to say. So I really encourage you to listen, because I'm actually going to talk about being generous with everything that we have, every fibre of our being, money included. I think this is a wonderful passage, and I think it's a wonderful passage of encouragement. So I want to encourage you today. So if you hear nothing else, hear that I want to encourage you. Paul is encouraged. He's encouraged by the generosity of the churches around Macedonia, and they are being encouraged to do even better by him. Let's think about their generosity. It says in verse 3, they gave above and beyond their circumstances and expectations. Now, forgive me, you guys over here, you didn't want money mentioned, but it is talking specifically about money. They gave over above and beyond their circumstances. First thing. Second thing that Paul says is that actually this church wasn't a rich church. It was a church which had undergone severe trial, it says, and they were poor. Yet, they gave abundantly. Why is it that poor churches, under severe trial, give so much? So, here's the contrast. Because I've been to South Africa. And who's been to South Africa here? Okay. And sorry to keep quoting South Africa, but it just hits you in the face. Because I went to a township outside Cape Town called Langa, Black Township. And it came the time for the collection, and they had a bucket in the middle. And the women, the big... I'll have to get into role play. Because the women in South Africa generally are quite large and quite strong. And they started singing, and they were doing all this stuff. And the congregation just started, one after the other, followed each other, singing, smiling, beaming, putting their money in the collection plate. God loves a cheerful giver. And it was money, and they were giving sacrificially. And I think a lot of the time, I keep apologising, I don't want to. But I think often what we do with God is, we give him the leftovers. And it's not that we're generous, we're mean, stingy. And we give with, if I have to. If I really have, what loose change have I got in my pocket, God? But I think we do that with so much else of our life. And Paul is encouraging this church and saying that despite their poverty, despite their circumstance of strife, and it doesn't go into what that is, he actually says that they are overflowing with joy. Can anyone tell me what joy is? State of mind? Okay, come on. Sorry, this isn't... I've got a 1 o'clock service. If you don't answer me, you'll still be here as they come in. So, come on. Happy, thank you. It's not rocket science, is it? Come on. Peace, okay. So they're overflowing with joy. And sometimes for us Western Christians, I think that our joy is so deep and so profound, it needs digging up. Seriously, because we've got the joy, joy, joy of the Lord deep, deep, deep in our hearts and lives. And then we overlay it. Sorry, I'm on one this morning. We overlay it by saying we're being holy. And we put on this holy face. This deep joy of holiness, which, to be perfectly honest, is miserable, and it would turn the milk sour. And then we say to people, oh, come and be like us. Why would you want to? Why would you want to be as miserable as us? Sorry, this is a great caricature. I'm not talking about anybody here today. How dare I? But let's overflow with joy. Let's be generous with joy. Why? And why does Paul say this here? Because they've been richly blessed. And what is generosity? I've just got a few quotes about generosity. They're not from the Bible. The first one's from John Bunyan. It says this: you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. That's generosity. Francis Assisi, you'll know this one: for it is in giving that we receive. Albert Pike, don't even know who he is, but I found this quote. He says, what we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. That we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal. I love it. This is a generous spirit and a generous heart. Gandhi says the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. That's generosity. I love a generous person. You can tell a generous person. Sorry, I have to be careful. I don't mean generosity in terms of the things that people give me. I don't consider a generous person to be someone who just gives me a load of stuff. I don't. And I know, as someone who struggled with this, I don't anymore, but I used to find it really hard to receive things from people because I was so wanting to give, I found it difficult to receive. I've changed now, so you want to give me things? No. But a generous person, you can tell a generous person, I can tell you how, because they look you in the eye for the first thing. Why does a generous person do this? Because they're interested in you. Because a generous person isn't thinking about themselves, they're thinking about you and everybody else. And I've been to too many places where people, you're talking with someone, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, you're talking with someone and they're looking over your shoulder and you know jolly well they're not interested in you, And they're looking over your shoulder for someone more important, someone with a name, someone with a title that they can go and talk to. So what do? I stop talking because I think, if you don't want to talk to me... Or you sit with some... Oh, I am on one. You sit with someone for an hour and they never ask you anything about yourself. That's not a generous person. A generous person says, how are you? How are you doing? Because a generous person is thinking of others. That's generosity. And here in this passage, Paul actually says that they gave themselves, not first and foremost to others, but first to the Lord. It's a generosity with God. It's a recognition of God's grace, verse 9 tells us. Recognizing, and we've sung it today. We've reenacted it with communion. There is a sense of recognizing how generous God is and what he has done for us. When you say to God, no, I'll rephrase it. I think you have to be very careful what you say to God. Why? Because he takes you at your word. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a Christian conference, and I was overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus, by his Holy Spirit. And I actually said to God, I want you to burn the cross on my forehead so I never, ever forget it. I didn't really know what I said, but God did it. And I'll tell you this, that there is not a day, and I mean it, there is not a day that goes by that I do not think and am aware of how much God loves me and his generous gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is not a day that goes by. And I'm not saying that to make myself holy. I'm not saying it to make myself anything. It's the truth. Because I never, ever, ever want to forget how generous God is. Ever. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's us. The grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. And I don't know whether you ever think, whether you ever dream, but the grace that it must have cost Jesus to leave the glory of heaven, to leave the Father's side, to leave all that, to come down to planet Earth, to be constrained as a baby, to live as a man, and then ultimately, supremely, to die on a cross. Not because he'd done anything wrong whatsoever, but because of his amazing love for us. And in the light of that, how can we not be generous? I'd like you to try a little exercise. I'd like you to try and outgive God. Thank you. You can't. That was really quick. You can't outgive God. And whatever we give, financially, time, effort, God blesses us. I said I'm going to talk about money. Here's the pitch. Why have I said that? It's not a pitch, it's the truth. In the Christian life, in a church like this, it costs money. It costs money to have a vicar. That's me. If you don't want a vicar, don't have one. Sort it out amongst yourselves. Don't pay it. It costs money when we had Jason and Steph. It costs money to have a children's and families worker. It costs money to heat the building. It costs money to fix the three holes in the roof. They're over there. It costs money to have an administrator. It costs money to have a cleaner. It costs money to have a caretaker. It's costly. But why are we doing it? Just so that we can have a nice warm building and we can have a nice time and a nice... We're not doing it for that. We're doing it for the sake of the gospel. That's why we're doing it for. And the gospel is the biggest prize that anybody could have. And we're here nice and cozy because we know who God and Jesus is. And it's wonderful that we do. But we've not earned it. It's because of God's amazing love. So how can we not be generous with what God has given us towards other people? At 1 o'clock, there's a service, and there'll be about 200 people in who don't normally come to church. Now, I have a role to play. But I'm going to say to you as the church, what's your role? Eh? Pray? What, who for? Who are you going to pray for? All of them, thank you. Even if just one, you're going to pray for me as well, because I'm taking the service. That'd be really cool. Thank you. So prayer, and some of you might even choose to stay, to support and encourage. Because actually, they don't know the rules, do they? I've done 2 weddings this week. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I always start a wedding service with the same thing. Good morning or good afternoon. You were there, sorry. And people in the congregation, they don't know what to say. Do they? Why don't they know what to say? Because they're scared. What's it going to be like? When I last went to church, we had to sit down, shut up, pay up, get out. If you want to do that, do that. But I'm not into that. And God's not into that. He's into us being generous, but it's first to the Lord. It's got to be first to the Lord. It's knowing who we are in Him. It's knowing what He has done for us. And the most important relationship is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I became a Christian in October 1977. But if that is the only story, only testimony that I've got, there's been something wrong with my relationship with God. And I want to encourage you. I said this last week. This place here, as Christians, together, we are a family. Thank you very much. And what does the family do? Help and support one another and encourage one another. So here is part of our Christian responsibility. Here's part of how we get to know God better. We come to church. I'm not saying it because I'm the vicar, because before I was a vicar, I saw it as the most important thing I did in the week was to go to church. Why? Because I was meeting with fellow Christians. I was being encouraged to live my life as a radiographer by Sunday. So when you're feeling a bit wobbly and life's not so good, please do not do what most Christians do. Stay away. I can only come when I've got my church face on. I can only come when my life's sorted. If you're going to wait for your life to be sorted, you'll never come. This is a family, people, that supports and cares for one another. And we come together as church. We come together in our small groups to encourage one another in a smaller way. We pray. That's developing our relationship with God. We spend time with Him. I'm going to say something. I said it at the earlier service. It's going to be controversial, but I was going to say I don't care. I'll tell you why I don't care. Because the truth is, I don't actually mind what you think about me. The truth is, I mind about what God thinks about me. So that gives me the courage to say what I'm going to say. So many people spend our time on an alternative God. And I'm going to tell you what it is for most people. It's the gym. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the gym, so just wind your necks in. But it's interesting when you go to the gym, what have they got around the gym? You're all going to sit there and pretend that you've never been to a gym, aren't you? Oh, you've never been to a gym? Right, I'm going to have to do something different. Who's been to a gym? Come on. What's round the walls? Mirrors, thank you. Why do they put mirrors round the walls? So you can look at yourself. You can tell I haven't been to a gym. But you can look at yourself. Say how great I am, how toned I am, how buffed I am. That tickles you. And people spend so much time down the gym that they've got time to do anything else. But let me tell you this. When you go to the gym, find a gym without any mirrors. And also, when you're down the gym, have your headphones on and have the Bible playing or some Christian worship. Or while you're running on the treadmill, pray. The first gym I ever went to, confession, I was a curate in a church and my vicar used to go on a Tuesday afternoon. He asked me to go with him. For some of you, this will go right over your head. For others of you, it'll show your age. But who remembers Opportunity Knocks? Oh, gosh, plenty of you. Some of you weren't going to admit it. But there was a bodybuilder on called Tony Holland, who was the muscle man, wasn't he? Yeah. Well, he's a Christian. And I used to go to his gym on a Tuesday afternoon, and they didn't have mirrors. And it was great. But how much time is wasted by people on earthly things which make no difference at all? I'm going to skate on some thin ice now, because I'm going to say, how many people spend their lives having Botox? Nobody here, of course. Plastic surgery. Just to make the outside look really good. What about time on the most important relationship that we'll ever have? Because I tell you, all that other rubbish, it's not lasting. And I'll be really honest. When I got my first grey hair, I was mortified. When the second one came, I was distraught. When the third one came, I was inconsolable. So I thought, right, I'm not having this. So I went out, went to Boots, got the kit, dyed it. Why? Because I was vain. I didn't want to get old. I dyed it, and a week later, I had to dye it again because it grew out, because they kept springing up. Until some person told me, it must be God, because in the Bible, it's amazing what's in the Bible, what does it say about grey hairs? It's wisdom. Grey hairs is wisdom. So I said to God, and he took me at my word, let it come. Let the grey hairs come. Sorry, and I'm not having a go at anybody who dyes their hair, so please don't. But I'm just saying, for me, I was so vain, that took priority. Why? When God knows me as I am. When God knows me inside out and he still loves me. And I'm dyeing my hair because of my vanity. And if I spent time with God, I'd know that he loves me. Where I've got no hair, grey hair, black hair, blonde. I really fancied dyeing my hair blonde. Not now, I'm too old for that. But one of our sons did it and he looked really cool. I'm not doing it now. But you know, do you know what I'm trying to say? But we've got to know God. Know what's on his heart. Know how much he loves us. Know how generous he is. Know how self-giving he is. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We know the grace of God. Despite their poverty, despite their trials, the church in Macedonia was overflowing in generosity. They were overflowing with joy. And Paul calls them to excellence. You know, the church is known for many things. And one of the pillars of the church here is practicing generosity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known as a church in the community for our generosity? Paul says the church in Macedonia, they've got great faith. He says you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, that's the other disciples. See to it that you also excel in the grace of giving. It's a call for generosity, being generous with our time, our effort, our money, our whole lives. Actually saying to God, here's my life. Whatever you want to do with it, do it. That's generous. But if you're like most of us, what do you say? God, you can have this bit of my life, that bit of my life, but not this. I'd rather deal with this on my own. Being really honest, I've been a vicar for 24 and a half years. And there isn't a year that goes by that I don't say to God, God, do I have to do it? I absolutely love what I do. I do. But humanly speaking, I find it so difficult for all sorts of reasons. That's the truth. And there isn't a year that goes by. You know my favourite job that I'd love to do? The person in Sainsbury's, I've only seen it in Sainsbury's, you know when you get your fruit and veg and you put it on a scale, and there's a man there usually, or a woman, and they give you a ticket to tell you how much it is? I'd love to do that. Aren't I sad? Yes, I am. All right, I am. My second favourite job is working in KFC. I'd love to work in KFC. Well, I would, but at the end of the evening, you get all the stuff that people have. I love KFC, you see. Now, I'm not saying I don't love what I do, but what I'm saying is, I do this because this is what God has called me to do, and whether I like it or not, this is what I am designed to do, destined to do, equipped to do, called to do. So if I'm going to do it, I'm going to excel at it. I want to do the best. And I'm not excelling in your eyes, I'm excelling or trying to excel in his eyes. Because excelling isn't about success and numbers. Numbers of people in church. It's about being obedient, it's about being sacrificial, it's about being generous. And if I'm going to be generous with God, then God has to have the lot of Everton William MacLeod. That's me. He has to have the lot. God has been so generous to us people. How can we withhold anything from him? Anything. I guess I better finish. And the truth is, I'm not quite sure how to. But I just think that for some of us, I just feel that we need to know afresh how generous God has been to us personally. How generous God has been to us. That we need to go back to our first love. And recognize that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And as we reflect on that, I pray that God would give us a heart, a spirit, a capacity for generosity. Yes, generous with our money. Yes, generous with our time. But generous with everything that we have. So, Father God, for some of us, if we have other gods, that's gods with a small g, but you, Father, help us to lay them aside and to come back to you. Father, help us to put you first in everything that we do. Help us to cultivate our relationship with you above anything else, by meeting together, by prayer, by worship, by small groups, by serving. And Father, teach us what it is to be generous for your glory and honour. Amen. I want to say one more thing. After the 9 o'clock service, no, what time was it? I don't know. What time was the earlier service? 9:30. Someone said to me, I said three times I finished and I didn't finish. And I still haven't finished. I don't want anyone to go out of here discouraged. Seriously, I want you to go out of here encouraged. But also, I just want to tag something on. It's to do with being generous. Because God's placed this on my heart over the last couple of months. Is that when we come to church as the body of Christ, every single one of us has a part to play. Who said that? Every single one of us. It's called serving. It's called serving. And we need to find the place that we can serve. Because unless we do, you don't know. Your relationship with God doesn't grow. Why? Because instead of serving, we become consumers. So what we do is we come to church on Sunday in a completely different attitude. Instead of serving, which is this, we're consumers. It's almost like we're doing this, giving it, you know, marks out of 10. I said this a month ago. This, what we do, is not entertainment. This is life. If you want to be entertained and you want a comedian, go somewhere else. I once went to a church. I hadn't been here that long, and I went to speak at a Wednesday meeting. And the vicar of the church, who I didn't really know, introduced me as the Church of England's answer to Lenny Henry. No, I was disgusted, and I told him so. Afterwards, on his own. I said, don't ever do that to me, because I'm no comedian and I'm no entertainer. And I'm certainly not the Church of England's answer to Lenny Henry, just because I might look a little bit like him. This, what I'm trying to say to you, this is life, people. This is not entertainment. And in serving, we get so much. I think we ought to finish, because we've got another group of people coming in. I think we ought to sing As Jesus Walked. I don't mind if you stand, sit, kneel. This is ministry. As we sing this song, or try and sing this song, just let God have his way in our lives, please.